Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. When was the last time that you had a checkup? The last time maybe that you went to the doctor and you had everything checked out. You had blood work done. You had a physical done. You made sure that everything was as it was supposed to be. They did whatever test needed to be done. And what if they found something? What did you do? You set up another test, didn't you? You wanted to have it checked out. If something wasn't as they thought it was supposed to be, you had an MRI, you had a CAT scan, an X-ray. They may have run some more blood tests. They may have put you on a treadmill, hook up to all kinds of monitors, run some type of stress test. They're going to make sure that you're well. Friends, let me ask you this. When's the last time you had a spiritual checkup? When's the last time that you took out God's Word and you went by it, bit by bit, and you checked yourself spiritually? That you looked in the mirror and made sure that you were well spiritually. I want us to study together this evening our spiritual wellness and what we can do and things that we ought to consider to be sure that we are well spiritually. I think it's a good time for us to consider these things with the flu going around and so many out sick. We need to make sure, friends, that while we may be physically sick at times, that we avoid spiritual sickness. That we don't allow sickness of the soul to drag us down. So let's discuss together a spiritual checkup. Let me ask you question number one. I'm sure there are some here tonight that have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So number one, let me ask you this. Are you alive? Are you alive spiritually? In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, who came to him and had a question for him, Jesus answered and said in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus tells him here, tells Nicodemus that he has to be born. He goes on to tell him that he has to be born of the water and of the Spirit. That is, talking about the Word of Jesus Christ. He is to be born of water, baptism, of the Spirit. He is to be born by the Word of God. And thus born by the Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 16. A verse we all know well, I'm sure, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Friends, are you alive? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friend, the simple fact of the matter is, if you have never obeyed the gospel, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're not yet spiritually alive. You're walking around spiritually dead. And the only way to fix that is to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ by putting Him on in baptism, being immersed in water, there coming in contact with His death, Romans 6, 3 through 6, putting Him on in baptism, and rising again and walking in the newness of life. Are you alive? Friend, this is the first question you've got to answer. And each one of us has to answer that on a personal level. I do that, friends, by checking myself against the Word of God. You know what God's Word says, or I hope that you do, concerning salvation. Here, Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? Once you've heard the Word of God, then you believe it. Again, Romans 10 and verse 17, John 3 and verse 16, which we just talked about, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall all die in your sin. We are to repent. Luke 13 and verse 3. Again, Jesus talking there. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repent, meaning to turn away from the world, turn your back on sin, giving your life over to God. Confess. That's what Jesus tells us. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. In a nutshell, what Jesus says there is that unless we confess Him before men, if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father. If we fail to do that, if we fail to confess Him before men, He will fail to confess us before the Father in heaven. We'll see it as well in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Salvation is had by making confession with the mouth. Once you've done that, friend, you've heard the word. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You repent of your sin, you confess Him before men with the mouth. Confession being made unto salvation. You must be baptized. Jesus says in Mark 16, 15 and 16 that we are to go into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. He goes on to say in verse 16, those that believe shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized, he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Friend, where do you stand? Are you spiritually alive? Number two, if we've determined that we are alive, that we put Christ on in baptism, we've obeyed the gospel, here's a question for you. Are you growing? If you are spiritually alive, are you then growing? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 11. Hebrews writer says, of whom we have many things to say. He's talking about the high priest, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The Hebrew people that had obeyed the gospel, basically what the Hebrews writer says is you're not growing any longer. You have become dull of hearing. You're nearly deaf. And so it's hard for us to talk to you about Jesus Christ, our high priest. Friends, we need to be guarded against becoming dull of hearing. Continuing there in Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What's the Hebrews writer saying? They have been Christians long enough that they ought to be taking in the spiritual meat of God's Word. And yet, he says, you still have need of milk. Now, friends, you think about the comparison that's being made by the Hebrews writer. Those that are full grown eat meat. Those that are babes in Christ, those that are babes in particular, eat milk. Jensen is just over 3 months old. He can't eat meat yet, can he? He has no teeth with which to chew it. And so what does his diet consist of? Milk. There's the comparison made by the Hebrews writer. You've been a Christian long enough, you ought to be eating spiritual meat. You ought to be growing in such a way that you're to that point now, but you have need to be taught again. You ought to be teaching this stuff, and yet here I am having to teach you again, the Hebrews writer says. You need again the first principles, the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Friends, are we growing? Or are we still babes in Christ? Friends, if we are alive in Christ, if we are alive spiritually, we need to be growing, because if we're not growing, we're dying spiritually. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Before we read that, I want you to remember to whom Paul is writing here in the book of 1 Corinthians. He's writing to a congregation that if we had a city that would be like this, the nearest thing that I can think of, and yet the city was actually much worse than this, the nearest thing that I can think of that you and I could relate to would probably be Vegas, which is known widely as what? Sin City, right? Friends, that was Corinth. That was the setting in which the Corinthian church found itself. And so Paul is telling them here, you have let carnal things into your midst. Look what he says there in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They had allowed the physical world. They had allowed the carnal world to come into their midst. And Paul says, I can't even talk to you as you need to be talked to, because we're having to go back because you're still a babe in Christ. You're not growing, Paul says. Now, we see a little bit of growth from the 1 Corinthian letter to the 2 Corinthian letter. There's a little bit of growth there, and there's still many problems that Paul has to address. So hopefully they have taken his words to heart. Friends, will we take the words of Paul to heart? Will we continue to be babes, or will we grow? Let me ask you this, because I have. Have you ever come across someone that has been a Christian for 40, 50, 60 years, and they don't know any more now concerning God's Word than they did 40, 50, 60 years ago? Or at least not much more. The Christians are not growing. They're not in God. They're not in the book. And so they're not growing spiritually. They're like any other person that comes and sits in a pew on Sunday morning, and then they go and they put their Bible on the coffee table or on a bookshelf, and it does nothing but collect dust for the rest of the week. How are you going to grow? Friends, if you don't eat but once a week, how healthy are you going to be? If you don't eat but 2 days a week, Sunday and Wednesday, how healthy are you going to be? You're not. You're not going to be too healthy, are you? You're not going to be able to do things physically. Well, friends, put that in a spiritual manner. You think about it spiritually. If we only eat of God's Word on Sunday, and we only eat of God's Word on Wednesday when we come together for Bible study, and that's the only time that we get into the Word of God, what does our spiritual body look like to God? It's weak and frail, and you're not going to be able to do things that you ought to be doing, ought to be able to do. Are you growing? Friends, it's not about age. It's not about time served, so to speak, friends. It's about growing in the Word of God. Are you growing? Let me put it like this. Okay, and maybe this will hit home, maybe it won't with some. When's the last time you repented? Whether it be at home on your own, on your knees by your bed, or whether it be coming down front, in front of the congregation asking for prayers. When's the last time that you repented? I mean, truly repented. But sometimes we may get an idea about someone that is down here maybe every other month or three or four times a year. But friends, you know what I know about their heart? They have a desire to grow. They have a desire to get past whatever it is that they're struggling with. And sometimes we just need to ask for help, don't we? We need help. At times. Sometimes that means coming down front and asking. Sometimes that means handing a note to one of the elders or to the preacher to ask for prayers of the church or from the elders. Sometimes that means saying, I'm sorry. I've messed up. That's hard for some of us to do. Well, friends, that's growth. You think about Peter in Galatians chapter 2. Paul says, I withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. You look at Peter at the time of Jesus and his arrest, and he denies him three times, and he went out and he wept bitterly. But then Jesus comes right back to him and says, Peter, feed my sheep. Talks to him about being converted. Peter had some growing to do, didn't he? Peter's one of, is, if there's any one apostle that you and I should be able to relate to, it's Peter, isn't it? Peter grew. Peter grew to the point that he gave his life for Christ. And friends, if we don't grow, we'll never reach that point. That if it were to come between me, if it were to come between life or death because of my stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I would choose death, as Peter did. That he would stand regardless of what it might cost him. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Meditate upon these things. In other words, Timothy, you let these things be a part of you. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. What's he talking about? What is Paul telling him? Look at the very next verse, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Friends, the gospel is to be a part of us so that we will grow. I want you to notice one other verse when we move on to our next point. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I'm going to read the first three verses, and I want you to notice what the psalmist writes. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, friends, I want you to notice three things here about verse 1. Okay? Or one thing in particular. Notice how sin grows, number one. First, he's talking about walking. Something catches his eye, so he stops and he stands. And then what's he do? If he continues there, what's he do? He sits. So if we're not growing spiritually, where are we growing? We're allowing sin. We're allowing temptation to grow so we might sin, aren't we? We've got to be careful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The man is happy that does not walk, stand or sit in the place where sin is, but rather his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. It's on his mind all the time, regardless of what he's doing. He may be working, he may be playing, he may be doing whatever teaching his child. But the law of the Lord is on his mind. Look at verse 3 now. Look how he grows by meditating upon the law. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Friend, would you be planted by rivers of water? Would you continue to grow? Are you growing now? And if not, friends, what changes will you make to be sure that you do? Number 3. If you're alive in Christ, that is, you're alive spiritually, and whether you're growing or you're not growing, I've got another question for you. What are you eating? What are you eating? Going back to Hebrews chapter 5, let's look at verse 13. Hebrews 5 and verse 13 says, but everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Friends, if you give a baby, if you give Jensen a steak right now, he has no idea what to do with it. You could cut it up in tiny pieces and put it in his mouth. He still has no idea what to do with it. Why is that? He's unskillful in that aspect right now, isn't he? He doesn't know. And so the Hebrews writer says here, if you're continuing in milk, as long as you have been a Christian, if you're continuing in taking in milk rather than getting into the meat, friends, you're still a babe. You haven't grown. And that helps us to determine whether or not we're growing. What are we eating? Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That is, they are mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do we get to the point where we can take strong meat? Well, one thing is, friends, you put it into practice. You take God's Word and you put it into practice. Now, how does this contrast with what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3? Look at what Peter says. Hebrews writer says we need strong meat. Peter talks about milk. We need to look at this. We need to understand something. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Another translation puts it like this. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. There's no contradiction between what the Hebrews writer and what Paul has said in the past and what Peter's saying here. We ought to have such a strong desire, a longing for God's Word, just as a baby does for his bottle at mealtime. When a baby is hungry, it doesn't matter what you do. He's going to continue to cry, isn't he? Until what? You give him his bottle. You give him his milk. He's hungry and he's letting you know about it. That's the idea that Peter gives us here. If we're going to grow to the point where we can digest meat, where we can take in the meat of God's Word, and we dig deeper and deeper spiritually, Peter says you need to long after God's Word just as a baby does his milk at mealtime. Long for it. Have that strong desire that you're not taking no for an answer. You're going to go after God's Word. You're hungry for it. So friends, are you hungry for the Word of God? Is it something that you long for? Is it something that you think about? Friends, when we look at the spiritual, and we look at the religious world today, and speaking spiritually, we have, and even within the church today, and friends, I hope, against hope, that we don't have any of these here in our midst. But there are so many that we might consider spiritual anorexics. They don't get enough. And they refuse even to take of God's Word. And then on the other side of the coin, we have what we might term spiritual bulimics. That is, they thirst after it for a while. They take all they can in. And then they cast it to the side, never to use it. And what happens when you don't use something? You lose it. What are you eating, friend? I might ask it like this. What have you learned of God's Word lately? What have you learned in God's Word lately? Friends, let's be sure that just as we go to the doctor on a regular basis for checkups, wanting to make sure that everything's going to check out and that we are well physically, let's be sure that we perform a spiritual checkup from time to time. That we take God's Word in and we look, as James tells us, to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, that we can look into the perfect law of liberty, this mirror that we find in God's Word, and we can make sure, friends, that nothing is out of place, that we are well spiritually. Would you do that with me this year? From time to time, let's take our spiritual temperature. Let's be sure that we're well. And that we're holding hands as we go forward
building for eternity. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song booth. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, it may be that you're here this evening and you've performed a spiritual checkup while you've been sitting in the pew. And you found something lacking. It may be, friend, that you figured out with our first question of the evening that you're not yet alive spiritually. You haven't put Christ on in baptism. Why not this evening obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Allow Him to make you alive spiritually. Allow Him, friend, to give you life eternal if you remain faithful unto Him by putting Christ on in baptism. Friend, it may be that you're here. And as you thought about your wellness spiritually, you found something lacking in that while you may have obeyed the gospel, you're not growing. You're not eating of God's word as you should. Friend, make a change. Make God and His word the central part of your life. Put Him before all else. And see how your life changes. See how your life improves. Make sure that you get better spiritually. Friend, if you have a need, if you need to obey the gospel, repent of sin, friend, or if you just need the prayers of the church,